yeah.
Dude, I'm doing this weird commercial. Wait, are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's Mike.
It's Keith.
It's Russian Danny. It's Charlie.
And the fucking cricket.
And the cricket. The cricket is back, cricket. That little prick.
And Charlie's
off. We got our guest. Yeah, we got our guest tonight.
Yeah. We got our guest tonight.
Jiminy fucking cricket.
Jiminy cricket. Did you do the face app, the Russian face app thing?
I didn't do it.
What, did you not do it because you don't want the Russians to have your shit, or you just didn't do it?
I just didn't do it.
I'd be honored to have them. I'd like them to have some pictures of me. Just to contemplate on, and also would help scare them off America.
That's I wonder if they'd want us.
Want my information?
Dude, I did an Abercrombie and Fitch photo shoot years ago. This is on a side note, but it's similar. And
Which side of the camera?
No, I was doing wardrobe.
Okay.
But William Shatner, it was like all these, like,
you didn't get that tank up?
No. Dude, but it was like, we would do these things. They'd do a still shoot of these people. It was like a magazine they gave away or you bought or something in Abercrombie and Fitch. It was like, fuck, 18 years ago. But we'd shoot some celebrity. And this one was William Shatner. And we shot him, like, you know, at his ranch on his horse and all this shit. And, dude, so they do like a Q&A and they're asking him questions. I'm not bullshitting you. They're like, so do you believe in life on other planets? And he goes, absolutely not. And I go, why? And he goes, well, it's pretty simple. I mean, I'm the perfect human being. So if there was life on other planets, they definitely would have came and taken me to study. And he was dead serious.
Oh, my
That's
God.
I'm so like, good.
This dude should be president.
Dude.
How amazing is that?
That's fucking so chat.
And he was dead serious. Like, that was his proof. They didn't take me. I'm fucking perfect.
I did the face app thing. We were fucking around with it last night at dinner, and I did the face app thing today in the clear light of day. And it's shockingly not that different. And that's what bummed me out the most. Is that I put it up and they were like, this is what you look like older, like 2 weeks older. Like, oh man.
You know how I know it's not the Russians, other than me being,
yeah. Wow.
About 2 years ago, I get, because I've had the app for a while, and they had like an updated face app, you know, like I got a notification on my phone. It was like, you could now see yourself in different ethnicities, you know, and they had like, it was for like 3 hours, and then there was a fucking outrage and they pulled it.
Oh,
but it
wow.
was like, blackface,
Jesus. Yeah,
Indian,
I just got
Asian.
How that went wrong. Oh, yeah, right. Wow.
But it was so good. You saw the black Nick Angelo, right?
No,
you never saw black Nick. Hold on.
How did someone not get ahead of that? I mean, the old thing is amazing. No, but I was looking at Keith and I'm like, Keith, you have not changed since I fucking known you. And it's weird. No. And I mean, people will say that I haven't changed that much because I've had a beard for so long.
The beard is the only thing that I think is different than when I met you. That's it.
That's but like,
because we were both bald already.
But, you know, no, like if you look at pictures, I've aged, but you have not aged. And I wonder what it would be like if you did that thing, because I will tell you, it made me look like a Saturday morning. That's what it made me look like. It made me look. Oh, actually, that's a little inaccurate, right? Because that's probably more like a Thursday morning. I don't go out on Friday. What the hell? Everybody else is fucking young
amateur,
and
yeah,
vital
amateur night,
on a Friday. I'm about just ready to go to the hospital. but no. And I was like, oh God, the beard is so white and the face is so ruddy and pocked and just pink. And I was like, if this is where we're going. Well,
I have to do it.
I heads up.
Yeah, we could do it right now. Fuck. Shit.
We could do it right now. Well, who do we got here tonight?
We got a bit of a.
We have an archive app.
Yeah, Throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
TBT, as the kids call it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
we
right.
have
a Way Back Wednesday.
We have a great fucking Nas story with Danny.
Yep.
When Danny was a balloon salesman.
Yeah.
We have. God. When Danny worked for the circus. we have...
And Alex Two-Tone.
Two-Tone.
L.A. legend.
L.A. legend. Two-Tone. I'm trying to... He did so many drugs during that story. I can't even remember what.
Hallucinogenic cowardice.
Oh, right. When he bounced on his crew. That's right.
So that'll be fun. And who else? What else?
We got an Anton story.
Oh, and we have Anton story.
Anton at the payphone.
At the payphone.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Should we get in?
Let's get into it.
Wait, what's the... All right, here. Let's lean for a quick second. All right, so it's Mike and Keith, and Danny's back. And you gentlemen are?
I'm Alex.
And I'm Anton.
And we're the Incredible Fuckwads.
You work together?
Yeah. I'm the power bottom in that relationship. Got that
right. Right. I think everyone's doing speed these days. I feel like it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. I used to sell dope to a guy that worked at JPL. And like, you know, and he was like a computer fucking dude, was like working, you know, and I would have to go and get military clearance to go drop off dope to this guy.
Oh, at JPL?
At JPL. Wow. That's great. He got like, he, and then I'd go over there and he'd be like, oh, thanks. Russian dude. His name was And he would be like, oh, he's like, you want a tour of like where they built the Mars rover or whatever? And I was like, fuck yeah. But this dude, and he was like really smart, you know, and he would spend all of his money on dope and on meth, you know, all of it. Like, you know, and he still like lived with his mom for some reason, like in Northridge, you know, and worked at JPL. And he would spend all of his money, but still had like access to some kind of savings. And he would call me and be like, I don't have any cash, but I can PayPal you some, like, I'll PayPal you three times what it's worth, you know? And I would be like, all right, dude, fuck, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
So it'd show up and he'd be like, well, my mom's up or whatever, leave it under the doormat. And I would show up and I'd put it under the doormat, you know? And then one time I called him a bunch. I went over there, I called him a bunch. This is the last time I saw him. And I called him, and he didn't answer. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna leave it under the doormat. It's all good. And I could hear like somebody, you know, and I kind of like hung out in his hallway for a bit. I was like trying to make sure if he was there or not. Like, I think I listened to his door for like a little, you know, it seemed like a few minutes, but it was probably like an hour or so, you know. I had this chick waiting for me outside. She's freaking out, you know, she thought I got busted, left, had to come back to get me. Finally, I leave it there. Next morning, the dude blows me up. He goes, dude, what the fuck did you do? And I'm like, what happened? He's like, I'm going to rehab because my mom fucking was looking through the peephole and saw you fucking moving back and forth, thought you were trying to rob us. I ended up leaving a fucking, you know, a bag of, I don't remember if it was meth or coke and a bag of heroin under the thing. She finds it and is like, oh, you're fucking out of here, you know, sends him to rehab. So his last, like, fuck you to me was he went and then disputed the PayPal fucking transaction and got my fucking PayPal account canceled. So to this day, I still can't use fucking PayPal. So this fucking day,
that little fucker.
I see shit on eBay. I'm like, oh, that'd be rad. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't even do it. I can't even get it. At least I got a tour of like the Mars rover. That was
that's pretty rad. That cool. How much money was that dude making that he was like, and he's living with it? Wow. With
his, yeah, it was weird. It was a weird he's situation.
With his mom, because he's spending all his money on dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got a story for you guys, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna make a sharp left turn out of Speedville. Nice. We're gonna go into deep hallucinogenic territory.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yes.
So this is like my teen years. I was heavy into hallucinogenics, right? And as a result, I got sucked into the vortex of raving because, yes. You know, you go there and you fucking take ecstasy and acid once or twice, and all of a sudden, like, you know, you believe it's all real. There, you love everybody, and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna be doing this for the next fucking million weekends for the rest of my life. it was like our little shitty version of the '60s. You know, like turned on whatever. But anyways, okay, so check it out. 1990 something, early '90s, right off of Temple near the. Near the 110 South, like Wilshire exit, right? Near like Rockwood neighborhood.
Yeah.
Prince opened up a club called Glam Slam, right? Now, Glam Slam was the first, like, do you have a Glam Slam story?
No.
You're nodding your head? Holy shit. So that this was the first nightclub I saw.
I want to be a Glam Slam. Dude.
And, you know, I'm a teenager. Like, I'm a broke fucking no, like, future teenage kid who's just running around getting high and doing graffiti. And me and my buddy Crush, we go to this. He's a graffiti writer. We go to Glam Slam.
Crush.
Yeah, his name was Crush. That was his nom de plume, right?
Sounds good.
Crush had a gold MR2 two-seater. which was like, he was from the disco era too. Crush had a fucking mullet. Like, so disco was 80s. That was like a disco thing, right? But disco isn't what you guys think disco is. It's like Mexicans with fucking mullets doing cha-cha. Like, it's a whole different thing. So he had an MR2, which, and the MR2 had a personalized license plate that said like MR2 too badass or something. That was like, he inherited it from some other guy. Okay. So I was young. Crush and the people I ran with were like 4 or 5 years older. And I took it as a point of pride, because I was a stupid teenager, that I would do whatever drugs they did and match them and do more because I could hang with the big boys. So whatever the fuck they would throw at me, I'm like, yeah, give me more. Fuck yeah, blah, 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 blah. So we start the night with a bottle of Southern Comfort, right? One and only, first and only time I ever drank that shit. I can't tell you what it tastes like. I don't even know what it is. I just know that night we had Southern Comfort. It's the only time I ever had it. We downed a big bottle of this shit. Just took it down to the neck. Nothing happened. It was just a really weird thing. I didn't feel drunk. So we go to Glam Slam, and Glam Slam, it's the opening night of Glam Slam, right? We get in, you know, it's just a different time. Like, I get in, I don't have a fucking idea. We just get in because we knew people. And it's the first club I see where you have security guards with earpieces. There's like statues in the fucking place, like with lights. I mean, it's this whole high tech new club thing going on, right? So we get in the club, we're having fucking a blast. It's amazing. This guy named Zone, this guy from the West Side. Did you know Zone? He was like, I think he's from West Side Crazies.
Yeah.
He was a Hare Krishna. He had a whole fucking thing going on, right? That's another story. So
I know a lot of those.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of those dudes around. So Zone gives me a hit of mescaline. No. Before the mescaline comes into play, Crush gives me a window pane acid, right? From San Francisco. Now, I've taken, to that point, I'd taken 10 hits of acid at once. I just acid was all day for me, right? I take a proper dose of this windowpane acid, take it down. Cool, nothing's happening. I'm still in the club. I'm like, I'm not getting high. I'm starting to panic. Why aren't I getting high? I need to get high, right? So running around the club, I run into Zone. And I'm walking up these stairs. And Zone looks at me, just jumps up in the air and hooks his arm around my neck. And I have nothing to do but to go like this, which is to raise my arms up in the air to hold him like a baby. So I'm holding this full grown man. I'm 16. I'm a big 16-year-old. And I'm holding this guy in these stairs. And I'm like, you know, hey, what's going on here? This doesn't feel good to me. I don't want to, you know, like, I'm not so secure at 16 that I can just carry a man around. Anyway, after that song and dance, he gives me a hit of mescaline, right? So I got the mescaline in my system, I got the window pane, and I got a shitload of Southern Comfort. It all hits me at once, like a fucking vortex. And instead of going into like this like crazy, you know, I didn't get insanely drunk, I didn't get insanely high, I became instantly delusional. It's the first time in my life I ever became out of my wits, out of my head, delusional. Like, reality was fully altered, okay? So I start talking to Crush, and he's babbling because he's out of his fucking mind. He's babbling about all this shit he's going to do. And somehow I extrapolate from his bullshit that he's secretly a millionaire and he was going to take care of me, because I was really worried about myself at that time. I was 16 years old. I'm fucking around getting high all the time. I got no prospects. I'm just writing graffiti, being a dick, right? So I somehow, through this crazy hallucinogenic babble, get in my head that he is bi-coastal. He's a fucking millionaire and everything's going to be fine. And I go, and you know, and he's talking about something else, dogs and sweaters and his vest and how hot it was. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And I go, I look at him, I go, we, and also we own the club we're in. That's another thing that I figured. Cause this is a reality break, you know, real reality break. Yeah, yeah. And I go, we're at this bar full of mirrors, right? Mirrors behind the bartenders. And I go, we own this club? And he goes, yeah, in my head, yeah, yeah, well, this is our club. I'm like, this is our club? Again, I go, fuck yeah. And I take a shot glass and just chuck it at the mirror behind the bartender and shatter like three mirrors, dude, right? And that's when those fucking big gorilla earpiece security guards come into play. And they had me yoked up so fast, like hands up in the air, and they're hitting me with flashlights. And at the time I was wearing size 56 jeans, okay? Hit me with flashlights, pants fall down, They're dragging me out of the club. Crush is going, what the fuck is going on? What did you do? He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Jesus, they take me in the stairwell. They're beating the shit out of me, okay? They're letting me have it with fucking mag lights. I feel nothing. Nothing, dude. I did not, there was not one shred of pain. I was like, what the fuck, you know? They kicked me out of Glam Slam. It's now like, you know, 7:30 in the morning.
Glam Slam.
Out of Glam Slam. Get the fuck out of here. I'm outside of Glam Slam. And then I'm still in this crazy delusion. I look at these, I look at the towers in downtown and I go, fuck yeah, that's another one of our cribs up there. Like I'm pointing to the crib in my head and kind of be like, fuck yeah, dude, helicopter's gonna get me. Like fucking delusion, like full break from reality. I'm going to this parking lot and let's say for the sake of like, you know, the story and storytelling, beautiful, beautiful gypsy woman starts luring me into her van. Okay, this woman's like, and we're doing this weird dance in the parking lot. She's like, come with me. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm moving towards her. And I'm like, this is like the best fucking time ever. And I'm walking towards this woman in her van and she's going to take me in the van. And like right then, Crush pulls up in this fucking gold MR2 and goes, Two-Tone, Two-Tone. And I go, what? And he goes, come here. And I go, what? And he goes, come here. We got to go. And I look at him and I look at her. And, you know, I'm loyal to my friends. Like, okay. And I ditch the girl. I go to walk over to his fucking gold MR2. And then he just takes off and leaves me there. Just leaves. Just fucking bounces. So now I'm stuck in the middle of downtown LA. I don't know where anything was in LA at that point in my life. I never left Venice. I didn't have a car. I knew I'd take the bus to the west side. Like, I didn't know shit. I'm downtown LA. I get to a payphone. And I wrestled together, I believe it was like 35 cents. I call my roommate Tuma. I go, yo, I kind of tell him the story. I'm fucked up. Can anyone get me from here? Where are you? I don't fucking know. I'm downtown. He's like, I can't help you. Right? So I hang up the phone. I'm starting to kind of realize that like maybe we're not, you know, multimillionaires. Maybe like, you know, maybe this isn't all real, right? So I'm sitting on the corner by the phone booth and I'm like starting to get a little bummed out. I'm like, oh shit, it's all sinking in. Like, you know, and then you start looking at yourself and your shirt's fucking torn off. My pants are hanging down. It's a nightmare. And this gardening truck pulls up, stops at the corner, some pies in the gardening truck. I look over him. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, what's up? And I'm like, you going to Venice? He goes, yeah, I'm going to the Circle. I lived at the Circle. I swear to God, this is real. Hop in the truck. We don't say a word to each other. Drive to Venice. Like, out of nowhere, like a fucking Sherpa. Like, no. Takes me. I'm like, thanks, man. Jump out. Go in my fucking house. I'm in my apartment, my tiny little fucking shotgun shack apartment. And I just sat there and proceeded to watch, you know, like everything in my apartment was like coming. Because then that's when the mescaline kicked in. The mescaline's super digital and like overlaying. And like all this shit, all the stuff in my apartment started like coming out in these very digital square shapes and rearrange, you know. And then I sat and did that. And then I think I went and got in the ocean and that was that, you know. And then I was home. Dude, that was the fucking story.
You going to Venice. Wow. Yeah.
True, real shit. Like that part really happened.
Wow.
Glam Slam?
Dude, Glam Slam.
Glam Slam.
I remember once I had, I was supposed to be moving out of an apartment and, my mom was trying to get the down payment back on this apartment in North Hollywood. And when she went there to clean everything out, she said that there was above the toilet, her and the girl I was living with's mother were scrubbing the blood off the top of from cleaning the rigs. You know, mm-hmm, when they get clogged and you push the rig.
Oh.
And I said, how'd it go? She said, well, it took about 45 minutes to scrub the blood and pus off the... And I felt really bad about that. So I said, well, I'll do the second load so you don't have to go back there again, right? So I jump in my mom's Bronco 2, right? And I'm driving down, you know, from she was living in the Waikanae Oak Park area. So I'm driving in North Hollywood. I go to North Hollywood. I load up the stuff. And then I don't know if I might have told you this before, but I go to the In-N-Out on Vineland, I think it is, in Ventura. Mm-hmm. And, or no, Van Nuys. There's two In-N-Outs there. But there were like four or five payphones there. And I decided I'm going to cop on the way back, right? I got my mom's Bronco. inside the column, in the center column there, I got a rig, couple rigs and spoon, and I got all this shit that I shouldn't even own. That should just go right to the trash, you know, in the back of the Bronco. And I take my pants off and I'm in my boxers and I'm trying to fix my leg. And I register and I'm like, all right, I'm going to call the connection to Cobb to then bring dope back to my mom's house for later. So I go out and I got blood running down my leg and the payphones were hot now. I mean, there was just so much action coming off of those phones. There were like four or five phones that called back. So I pick up the phone and I call the connection, you know, I page them, right? And I hang up and right as soon as I hang up, right, three undercover, you know, San Fernando Valley, LAPD guys rush me and they throw me to the ground and they handcuff me and they put me on the phone and they're like, who are you calling? And I know exactly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one. And this is, so I'm in a sting operation. And I'm looking up and I had just gotten down. So I'm like, you know, sweating from my lip and my ears and like, you know, and there's blood running down my leg. And he goes, he's like, we've been monitoring these phones and there's a sexual predator that has been calling and harassing women from this phone. That's the line that's happening to me. And I'm like, really? I weigh like 119 pounds. I haven't changed my clothes in like fucking 3 weeks, you know? And he's like, whose car is that? I'm like, that's my mom's Bronco, you know? And he's like, are you living out of that? And I'm like, no, I'm just moving from North Hollywood back to my mom's house. And I just told him like, and he's like, are you high? And I just knew, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, everything's in the car. You know, I mean, everything's in the car. And they go, you know, they go over and they take out the spoon and they put it on the, you know, the hood of the car and they put the rig there and the, you know, the Coke can and all that. It's really depressing to look at it. And he comes over and he's like, well, we feel that you fit the description of the sexual predator. And I look up, I'm handcuffed on the curb and I look up and I'm like, listen, I've been on 120 milligrams of methadone for 5 years. I took 2 Klonopins this morning, right? I just got down. I go, I'm the worst sexual predator. I go, I haven't had an erection in 4 fucking years. I guarantee you, I am not the sexual predator that you're looking for. And the whole time I'm there, I'm waiting for the phone to call back. And so the whole time I'm just like, don't fucking call. You know what I mean? Because that's what they want.
Yeah.
They want that phone to ring and then they're going to pick it up, you know, and they're going to say, you know, whatever, Riverside and Oxnard, 15 minutes. All right. You're getting the car with us. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fine. You know, I was like, please don't call back. Please. They let me go.
They did?
Yeah. Let me go with the rig, everything. Everything.
That's great.
Yep. Everything.
Did the Connect call back?
I went back. I went up to Kester. I went and called him from Kester in Ventura.
Because after all that, that's when you need one more than ever. You know, when you beat, like when you, that's then when your cuffs like, come off, then you got to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really had that much, but.
Yeah. What, when the cuffs come off? Because they don't, Keith. You just go to the back of the car and then they drive you county.
Yeah.
And then from county you go to Folsom. I mean, eventually, 3 years later, they come off.
I did that once. I was at a party. It was my birthday. And I had secured a big bag of Coke, the best weed I could find. You know, and I was like, I'm ready. You know, this is when I moved on to Coke. And I'm giving everybody bong loads. And you know, it's like my birthday. I'm at this apartment party. And like, I was so fucked up on Coke and shit that I was like, of course, everyone does a bong load, wants a huge heap of cocaine on top of the weed. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, before someone take a hit, I just dump all this Coke on top and everyone just started fucking losing it. Like, what the fuck's going on? And they're like, you know, this girl Patty, what did you do? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, did you fucking put Coke on their fucking weed? I'm like, yeah, of course I did. Like, it's fucking great. And they're like freaking out. Everyone's like, oh, I'm fucking having a heart attack. I'm dying. Like, it made sense to me. It's like brain stressing. You know what I mean?
That was my last basic dance with the, I had a,
I had a good little combo going for a minute there. I mean, I don't really even know if this is a story so much as just a cautionary tale. I had Matt working, just started off kind of working in advertising, was making some money. And of course, my like first, you know, at this point, I'm just like, wow, first thing you do when you get money is you buy drugs and hookers. That's, yes. I mean, that's what a man does. I have a lot. I have clothes. I have shoes. I have enough shoes. I'm going to this job. Everything's fine. What don't I have are these two things. So
chlamydia.
Yes. I used to just, and that cocoa puff that when, you know, I had a bong situation, put the weed in there, and it was like I had not ever thought of it before, like in the years of doing drugs or whatever. I was like, I bet you that'd be good, you know. Yeah. And you put some of that on there, and it really is great. And then, you know, about 6 months later, you've got a nice little thing going for yourself, you know, where you're like, oh, it's Wednesday night. Gee, what do I feel like doing tonight? Huh, funny. I feel like going home and just putting some coke on some weed, smoking on that for a few hours, then hitting the sack. And it kind of comes to you. It's like, because pot's involved and because I never thought about pot in that way, I'm like, wait a second. I mean, this is what, just an idiot I am. And I'm like, wait a second. I mean, this is, I'm smoking cocaine now. like, I'm not just sprinkling a little coke that I got on top of the, like, I'm buying cocaine and weed and combining them and smoking them exclusively, pretty much. It feels like that's how it's going, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that cannot be good, you know? And finally, I just had I had two whopping panic attacks where I was just like outside of a restaurant, calling someone who was inside the restaurant, just like, oh, you're gonna have to come out here. And she was like, well, why? What are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm out here. I really think I'm freaking out. She's like, well, I'm inside here. And I was like, yeah, I can't come in there, so I'll just stay out here. And I was like, all right, that has to stop. Like, yeah,
that was that.
I mean, I just did. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what, enough was enough. Fancy that.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I guess I just have enough fear with the upper stuff, that kind of stuff, that it's just scared me off, you know? I was always very clear to me from the beginning, like, I just knew, I was like, this has a limited shelf life, especially for like a guy of like my predilections, my other habit, like all of it. It's just, I was like, this one has a limited shelf life. And then you start seeing people straight up just drop out, you know? And I saw some people who I like, who were like way more, had their shit together way more than I did, fucking just spun up like tops. And I was like, okay, this cannot possibly end well. And I just, you know, smoke grass and you know, and the interesting thing is, who knows what it all, you know, who knows how that all evens out. You know what I mean? I don't give grass necessarily a pass in my mind. I know what it is. I know why I like it. I know it's still connected to, in some small way, the same teenage notion of wanting to smoke a cigarette, because that's what you did if you were going to be a guy who wasn't a fucking sucker.
I miss pot, what I mean? Man. I like pot. I don't smoke it. I'm sober, right?
Yeah.
I miss it.
I miss it.
Such a nice, easy, chill thing.
I miss it.
Some people.
And you got out before you didn't. You never freebased. Which is like the weaponized version of smoking coke. Okay?
Freebase, right. No, I didn't.
You got out early.
I've seen someone put, and that even was just like they're pouring the ammonia in the thing. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't you just, I don't know. Those ones scared. I'm much more of a downer guy than I am an upper guy. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Much more. Like, I like mushrooms, LSD, but those are downers, but more psychedelics, you know what I mean? And weed
and I don't know. Yeah, just stuff that mellows me out.
Heroin
at
MacArthur Park.
Yeah, heroin at
Poppers. So I got into the rave thing a little later on. You know, it was like I'm younger, so late 90s, probably like 98, 99.
Younger than who?
Than,
oh, these guys. Yeah, for sure.
It's the late 90s, and like we discover raving. You know, we've been like smoking weed and doing mushrooms or whatever. And I had a friend that was just like, I think on my 15th birthday, I went to a rave and my friend gave me like an e-pill and was like, dude, there's this chick. She thinks you're hot. You know, I remember at the time she looked like a younger, like fucking J-Lo, like a young, hot Jennifer Lopez. And I was like super sprung on her. And he was like, dude, she thinks you're hot. And like, he gave us each an e-pill and we got tickets to this rave and we went and I hooked up with her. It was just fucking amazing. You know, like I had this like love for raves and like I love the music, you know, and I love the drugs and just the, you know, the camaraderie and the, you know, the love that's shared. Like it was kind of like you were saying, like it was like our, you know, like free love generated. It was the rave thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would like go to these big ones and like they kind of started getting like raided and shut down. And then we started kind of like going to these like kind of sketcher, like these desert raves, like Moon Tribe and all this other weird shit, you know? And, and around that time, we like discovered, you know, like we had a dude in the valley that would go and he always had Nas tanks. And he would have like old ones and new ones and he would sell the Nas tanks. We could never figure out where to get them filled. And he was like, hey, give me $100 and I'll give you my guy, you know? Like he was strung out or something, you know? So we were like, fuck, we put our money together. We gave him the cash and we found this spot that was like an old 4x4 shop on Sepulveda. We could go and you could take your Nas tank there. And the dude would like hold back the sulfur because for cars, they put sulfur in it and you can't like inhale it. It's it's not nitrous. It's like, it's fucked. We tried it. It didn't work. It did not work. Like you just,
that's the first thing I was thinking of. Yeah, it's not cool. Okay,
so we found out, so we find this dude. Yeah. Because they use it like Nas, you know, like for racing and shit. But it gets cut with sulfur when you put it in a car for some fucking weird reason.
So people don't.
So people don't hide it. But
probably. So every time people were filling up their tanks, they knew that they were doing it for these
kids. Yeah, yeah. So they would. And I mean, we would go to this spot and it's like 11 a.m. and there's 16-year-old kids walking up with tanks with fucking balloons stuck to the bottom of the tank. I'll never forget. They're fucking drooling like, you know, 40 pounds or whatever. It was like 40 and 80 pound tanks. So we start getting our own Nas. And then some dude was like, dude, if we take the Nas to these fucking raves, we're going to make a killing. You know, like the balloons are like $3 to $5 a balloon. We can make a shit ton of money, get high. Chicks are going to fucking flock to us. It's going to be fucking awesome. So we start, you know, so we, the first time we're like, we got all our money together. We got a car, you know, like a carload. My friend, this kid, Justin, was driving and he was a kind of a trip because he would always like argue with us. We would be like, dude, we love the music and we love the drugs. We love the rave culture. He's like, you guys are a bunch of fucking drug addicts. And you just go there because you want to fucking do drugs and fucking hook up with like chicks that are fucking unable to like realize how scummy you are. Like, they're more fucked up than you guys. And we're like, no, we fucking love the music and the culture and whatever, you know? And he was like, I just like doing drugs, so I'm going to hang out with you guys because I could go there and fucking sit in my car and get fucking all the drugs I want to do. But he's like, I hate this fucking music. I hate all the people there. I don't like the glow sticks and the JNCO jeans, and it's all fucking bullshit, you know? So we get out there, and we had one tank, and we're sitting out, and we're filling up fucking balloons. There was like and this is like total desert rave. We had like to go to four different points to keep getting like a piece of paper that would give you the directions of how to get there so the cops couldn't raid it. I mean, it was fucking cool. Like it was like, you know, we get there and there's all these trucks and like a U-Haul truck pulls up and they unload the sound system and the lights. And like, we're literally in the middle of fucking nowhere, you know? And there's like a dude with a bunch of kegs that pulls up.
So is it like a desert?
Yeah. And I don't know what fucking desert, you know, but it was in some desert. And we're there and we're trading the guy next to us. He's giving us beers and we're giving him fucking Nas balloons and like, I just remember our pockets, like it got to the point where like our pockets were filled with dollar bills and we're like, we're rich, we fucking made it, you know? And we run out and the tank runs out of Nas and we're like, oh fuck, we got the second one. We have it in the car, you know? And we're like, oh, we got to go grab it. We walk up and we see our friend Justin who's sitting there and he's fishing out. He's sitting there. He's completely blue at this point. He's just fucking going back and forth fishing out. Turns out he fucking got the genius idea of, hey, why don't I just let the fucking, I'm going to lock the doors and fucking just let the tank flow into my car. So he's basically inside of a fucking nitrous balloon at this point. And he's fishing out all crazy. And we're standing there high. We're like, what do we, you know, the doors are locked. And this dude, the dude with the beers next to us, sees this going on. He fucking sees him, sees us, like, not knowing what's going on, grabs a rock and fucking runs up, smashes it through the window, and goes, "What the fuck's wrong with you? You're wasting all the knots." Sticks his head through the window and just starts inhaling. Yeah, doesn't give a fuck about her friend that's about to die. That's literally true. He's just concerned that this dude's fucking wasting all the fucking knots.
Oh, Jesus.
So great.
That's
so
fucking incredible. Oh, God. What a man will do for the knots.
I got one quick one.
Yeah.
And then I'll stop.
No, good.
It's a tale of hallucinogenic cowardice. All right. So I'm really going to put myself out there in this one. Okay, check it out. So teenage years, going to a rave. First time I did mushrooms, I ate a quarter, okay? That's a lot of mushrooms.
First time. Let me take a nibble.
Yeah. First time, because everything with me was like, I got to go, you know. Ate a quarter of mushrooms, go to this club. And
Jesus, it's a lot of mushrooms.
It's a lot of mushrooms, you know, and I'm a kid.
First time.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I eat a quarter of mushrooms. I'm in this club, and what happens is these people I'm with, they lose their keys, right? Yeah. Because they lose their keys, they're walking around a circle in this dark, crazy, fucked up club, looking at the ground. Because I ate all these mushrooms, I instantly just realized that means that this whole club is full of dead people. So I'm freaking the fuck out, right? My buddy. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm melting, right? And I feel like the whole club is full of dead people. And my friend, Wayne, he's there. And Wayne had all these, at this club, guys from Santa Monica, Cholos from Santa Monica used to do the door. And they did security. And my friend Wayne was familiar with all these guys from Santa Monica. And I'm sitting talking to him going, oh, I'm really fucked up, man. And I see these cholos from like 6 or 7 of these fucking dudes, goatees, 1990s, straight gang banged out. And they just roll up. They're rolling up. They're coming across the thing. And I'm like, I'm looking at them like, oh God, I'm not coming over here, fuck. You know, and I'm like, you know, my limbs are made of jelly and like, and fucking basically they're kind of walking towards us and they're picking up steam and they're picking up steam. And then they basically like pull up on me and this guy Wayne, like, what's up, homie? And they're his friends, but they're just being fucking cholos, like chummy. And I fucking split because I was like, you know, there was no, which is like I denied that. I lied about that for so many years because it was like the thing you don't do is like ditch your homie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you don't do it, right? And like I was just like, there was no, like there, I didn't, I was a fucking wispy fucking jellyfish, like in a, you know, like there was nothing I could do. I bail. So now I'm outside of the club. The club's full of dead people. And I'm telling everybody, listen, Wayne's dead. He's fucking dead. They killed him. He's dead. I left him. I let him die. And I'm babbling on and on about this. And Wayne comes out. And basically, like, he just somehow missed the fact that I, like, vamped on him and just bounced. And he's like, what's up, dude? And, like, somehow at the last minute, I just kind of pulled it together. I'm like, what's up, man? And, like, he never even knew, you know, the whole thing. And then I, you know, that's the whole story. The whole thing was like,
That's amazing.
Yeah. I lost it because I thought we were going to die. I was like, I'm going to let you die. I'm going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Dude,
shit. That was great. That's good. That was a good sesh.
Yeah.
Nice sesh. Very good. Wow. We got a lot of stories, too. That's nice.
There's a lot of good. They're fucking just endless. You know what I mean? Because like every time you're telling them.
I hope you guys like this episode. Follow us on Instagram at @itisallbad, and please follow, even if you don't like it, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Like and subscribe.
Yes, share with your friends. And yeah, there it is.
There we go.